Good morning, everyone. Good to see your faces this morning. I invite your attention to our lesson text this morning, which is found in Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing with the study of what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, and this morning we find ourselves at the fourth petition, which is found in verse 11 of chapter 6 in Matthew. It's also found in Luke 11, verse 4. But we'll only read from here in Matthew. This morning, I just simply want to read verse 11 and not the other verses as we have done in the past. Here our Lord Jesus, in verse 11, gives the fourth of six requests, which that request says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We have seen that the six requests can be easily divided into two segments or two divisions. That first division composing the matter of the name of God, actually then the being of God, that His name and being are to be set apart in our thoughts. And then secondly, the second request, the kingdom of God, in which as we see His kingdom expand, we we'll find that His name will be more honored and glorified. And then that third request, which we looked at last week, as the kingdom comes, as the kingdom advances, as the kingdom progresses, we see the will of God more and more done, and that's why we pray that the kingdom would come. Now this morning we come to the fourth request, which is the first request of the second division. And whereas the first division pertained primarily to those things that focus on God, we have to be careful how we say that. It doesn't mean they don't pertain to us, because we're to be concerned for His name, for His kingdom, for His will. But those things tend to concentrate on God, whereas in the second division, the requests concentrate on our personal needs, on our human needs, on our human concerns. And as we come to the end of these three requests in the second division, we'll be able to look back on these three and say that in these three requests, the entire need of man is encompassed within the scope of these three requests, whether it's our physical needs, and the one that we're looking at this morning, our mental needs, our spiritual needs, they're all encompassed within these three requests. And so we see again that the Lord's Prayer is indeed all-encompassing, much like the Ten Commandments, and comprehend then anything for which we may legitimately pray as the children of God. As we began our lesson this morning, I thought it might be helpful to read to you the answer or answers that are given to the question, "What is the fourth petition?" as given by the Westminster Shorter Catechism in question 104. And also the question and answer as given in the Heidelberg Catechism. I hope that we have an appreciation for these standards that come to us out of the way past, and we can be thankful that God enabled good men to put words together so beautifully, but not just beautiful arrangement, but the way truth is so well comprehended in these standards. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, "What do we pray for in the fourth petition?" And the answer is, in the fourth petition, which is, "Give us this day our daily bread," we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessing with them. I always like the way that Westminster Catechism puts the idea of enjoyment of the things of God in the answer. So, such as, you know, what is the chief end of man? Chief end of man is not just to glorify God, it's also to enjoy Him forever. And here we see that same idea of inclusion of enjoyment of God's blessings which He has given. We pray then that He would give us those things that we need as human beings in our existence here on the earth, but we also pray that in the giving of those, there will be the enjoyment of those blessings as well. I like the way the Westminster puts it. Listen to the way the Heidelberg Catechism puts the question, the answer. What is the fourth petition? Answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, he pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in thee alone. Isn't that well said? So as we look at these two answers, and I believe as we examine this morning, we will see that our human needs are the concern of this petition, our temporal needs, our physical needs. And as we would look at that, we may scratch our heads and say or ask, well now, if these last two requests pertain to matters of the soul, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And all along we've seen how the prayer in the arrangement of petitions point to certain priorities. The priority of God, His being, His kingdom, and His will. Now why would the petition for physical needs be placed prior to the petitions, the two petitions, on those things which we would consider the needs of our soul or more spiritual needs? Maybe that's a question you hadn't thought of, but as I was, and it's not one that I thought of necessarily. I think it came out of the question, began to toy with that question as I read the some of the books. And at least three of the writers that I read kind of dealt with this issue of why is this not last, and the last two petitions placed before it? Why does bread come before, or physical needs come before spiritual needs? Well, I think the answer, as we would think about this, in order of time. We need food even before we need forgiveness of sins and the deliverance from evil. As one writer says, as soon as we don't need bread anymore, we will no longer need forgiveness of sins and deliverance. So it's not that this is more important than the issue of the soul, but in order of time, we've got to have an existence maintained here on the earth, or the needs of our soul, the issues of eternity will be settled. Now, Thomas Manton, in his exposition of the Lord's Prayer, deals with this question a little bit differently, perhaps something for us to think about just a little bit and draw back from, because I don't know that it deserves a lot of time, a lot more time. But Thomas Manton points to the positive way the first four petitions are put and calls them supplication, and then he points to the negative way the last two are put, and he used the word deprecation. There may be an element of that here as far as the explanation is concerned, but I rather think that the order of time issue is probably the best explanation, remembering the interdependence of our body and our soul. It's really not surprising that the Lord Jesus would begin with our body. We must be kept alive. And then as we would proceed this morning to the outline, what I want to do this morning in the outline is simply to take each word of the request. We will look at the word bread, give us, and together, day and daily. You may say, or you may be thinking, I hope you're not thinking, oh, how tedious. We're going to look at every word. And I hope that we don't think that way. In my own consideration of this prayer, trying to to look at the individual words. You know, we need to be looking at the very words of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. One of the interesting things we'll see early on in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is the high appreciation he had for all of Scripture, for every word. Right here in Matthew, at the very beginning of his ministry, when he was tempted in the wilderness, how did he answer Satan with the temptations that Satan was flinging at him? Quoted the Scriptures, didn't he? One of those Scriptures he quoted says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God." And even here in the Sermon on the Mount, you have something of that high esteem for Scripture that our Lord had in chapter 5, verse 17. "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." And I'm sure you're aware of all the quotations from the Scripture. So in the spirit of our Savior, who taught us to have respect for every word, I'm justifying my outline this morning of looking at each word as a head of the outline. First of all, then, the word bread. The word bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And here it's generally recognized that the Lord Jesus is using a kind of figure of speech that figure of speech is called a synecdoche. I always had trouble pronouncing that, but I think I might have gotten it right that time. Synecdoche. And a synecdoche is a figure of speech in which a whole stands for a part, or a part stands for a whole. In this case, a part is standing for a whole. An illustration. I grew up in Bassett, where there are a lot of furniture factories, and then down the road we have Bassett Furniture, and then down the roadways, about 3 miles, a little town called Stanleytown, and in the little town of Stanleytown there is what is called Stanley Furniture, which is, you know, these two, in two small towns, but very large industry. In fact, at one time, Bassett was the world's largest producer of furniture, was their claim to fame, and I think Stanley may now be fifth, I'm not sure. But in any case, growing up in that town, you would often hear a reference to work hands. Because it was a factory-type town, you would hear a reference to work hands. The whistle would blow, and, you know, the work hands go to work. 12 o'clock, the whistle would blow, you hear whistles all over the place. 12 o'clock. And whistles blowing. And at 12 o'clock, it was time for the work hands to go and have their lunch. And 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whenever the whistle would blow, time for the work hands to go home. Well, when that expression was used, and work hands, what's meant? Was it just the hands that went to lunch? Was it just the hand, the literal hand that got off from work? Well, no. The idea is that the hand stood for the person, because hands are used in work so much, the word hand stood for the person. And so because the word bread is so essential to life, grain being essential to life, and some refer to it as the staff of life, bread being so essential to our diet, or I should say grain at least, essential to our diet, the Lord Jesus uses a very common expression here, bread. We use the word bread that way. Sometimes we talk about, you know, the man works so he can bring home the bacon, or bring home the bread, whatever, how that goes. Maybe both of those. And so the word bread then does represent or comprehend a lot of things, not just food even, but all the necessary provisions of our life, all things that are needed for the sustenance of our life. Listen to this quote from Martin Luther. Therefore, the first petition here is that He may give us our daily bread. That is, everything necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, and peace. And that He would preserve us from all sorts of calamities, sickness, pestilence, hard times, war, revolution, and the like. He squeezed a lot out of that bread, didn't he? And I think that he's right to do so. And certainly the idea is everything that pertains to our life, shelter. In this modern world of ours, we need money. The kind of vocations that we have these days, we need money to buy those things that are essential for the preservation and the maintaining of our life. So then, by bread is meant anything needful for our existence here on this earth. Then, secondly, let's take up the word give. And in taking up the word give, I'm really taking up two words. And also, that the word give is the verb in the sentence. But we're also going to take up the subject of this verb. And what is the subject of this sentence? You. I wondered if I might catch somebody off guard, but I guess I didn't. It is an understood subject here. And the understood subject is you, referring back to Father would be the antecedent of the pronoun you. It's understood. Father, would you give us this day our daily bread? So we need to see that. We need to understand that here it's our Father that we are addressing. We need to be reminded that it's our Father that we are addressing. We are asking Him, the Father, to give. Now we need to think about that for a minute. In this request then, Father, give, or Father, would you give? Father, we ask you to give. There is a recognition then, at least it's understood here, that He owns everything. That He has created everything. Everything you saw on your way to church this morning. Think about this. Everything you saw from your home to this parking lot, everything you saw, He made. Everything. All the beauty. All the beauty you see. What you see right here behind me. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? White and red. And the azaleas here and whatever that is. it's beautiful. The Lord made it. It is our God who made these things. And we need to be reminded of what the Scriptures teach us here on this matter. The Scriptures emphasize this matter. In Haggai 2, verse 8, it says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." You look down, you who are married, you look down, or if you have jewelry on this morning, you look down, you may be looking at a gold ring, or you may be looking at a piece of silver jewelry. The Lord made that. It's the Lord who created the gold and the silver. He made it. And we read in the Psalms, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." The earth! It's the Lord's! All of it! Not just the globe itself, but all the things that are on this globe. It's the Lord's. He made it. He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is the Lord of hosts who owns all these things. And so as we begin this prayer, and as we begin this request, there is this recognition that He deserves, that He is the maker of all things, that He is the creator of all things, and that He is the donor, that He is the one who gives. He is the one we look to give us those things that we need. And we need to understand His sovereignty in this matter as well. We need to understand that He may give, and it's His prerogative not to give. He may withhold these things from us if He so chooses. He doesn't owe us bread. He may take away bread, and He may take away water. He is sovereign over all things. He is the Lord of hosts. His kingdom rules over all. Now we need to be reminded of this, because we know that there's a tendency in our hearts to begin to take things for granted because of a pattern that we see in our lives. When there's a pattern, you know, you go to the grocery store once a week, you come home, you put those things away, you put them in the pantry, you put certain things in the freezer, certain things in the refrigerator, and there's a pattern, and you may stock away those things and not even think about what you're doing. You may have something else on your mind. Don't we need to be reminded? Don't we need to remind ourselves, gird up our minds to think, where does this come from? Where did this can of beans come from? Where did this hamburger come from? Where? It came from the Lord. We need to be reminded of that. He is the one who gives. And so, even those things that come to our life, because we have labored for them, because we have paid for them with the money that we earned from the job that we have, we need to understand that the means by which we purchase that food, even those means, are means that God Himself has supplied. But listen to Deuteronomy 8. You need not turn there, but let me read Deuteronomy 8:14-18. God says, "And when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good to the end, that you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." Now we might say to ourselves, well, no, we wouldn't be like these Egyptians, these Israelites coming out of Egypt. We wouldn't be like this. We wouldn't say this. But brethren, we need to take heed lest we fall, because we do fall. We forget where our blessings come from. And so the Lord goes on to say, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day." And so even if our food does not, you know, come miraculously like the manna came, we need to understand that if we have gotten the food by paying for it, if we got the food by paying for it with money which we earned from our work, we need to remember that the strength that we had to work, or the talents or skills that suited us to that job, that we might be employed there, all these things, ultimately it comes from the Lord. And we need to be reminded of this. And so in a very real sense, when we sit down to our meal, in a very literal sense, it is God who brought the food to the table. And as we sit down to the meal and we see it, before we've taken the first bite with our fork, there ought to be this sense as we look at the food, This came out of God's hand. And let's not fall to the temptation that our hearts would have us fall to, that, you know, our industry, our ingenuity got us this food. Let's be reminded. And let's think of it this way, that it came right from His hand. He brought it to the table for us. And is that not the beauty of the last part of this chapter, Matthew 6? "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather to barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And as you look at this whole thing here, what do you see? The main thing is God, the Father, providing. Here's his providence. Providing for all of his creation. But in a very special sense, providing for mankind. And so as we come to our tables, we can give thanks that our God cares for us. And what a wonder that is. That the God who is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, the God to whom all the nations are as the dust of the balance, that this God considers our little everyday needs like the needs of our food, down to the very details of our daily bread. What attention we get from Him. We're thinking yesterday about, you know, how limited we are, and there's something in our life that needs attention. You know how things are kind of screaming at you? This needs attention, that needs attention. And you go and you give that, maybe a human being, somebody needs attention in our lives. And we give them attention, but you can't continue with that. You've got to go on with your life. This over here needs attention and that's forgotten. I mean, sometimes our duty is overwhelming to us. But isn't it wonderful that our God is, moment by moment, He's aware of your need. He knows what you need. Every moment He's attentive to your need. And praise be to God that... And think about this. That here is God whose ultimate goal is the glorification of Himself. And that God who seeks to glorify Himself, that same God is attentive to our needs. And so all things come from Him in His care for us. In His providence. 1 Timothy 6:17 speaks of the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. In 1 Chronicles 29:14, please don't turn there, I have it here to read. For all things come of thee, Solomon said, and of thine own have we given thee. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Or in the words of James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now I think this is part of what can give us joy in those things that God has given us. Now let me give an illustration. I'll use my wife here. My wife is one of those who likes jewelry. But particularly those things that have been given to her by her mother, grandmother, and by me. But she seems to treasure those, and it's interesting to me how sometimes she'll treasure some things that, bracelet might be prettier than that bracelet. This is more expensive, but this bracelet seems to mean more to her because that bracelet was given to her by somebody that she loves. We're all that way, aren't we? Those things that are given to us by somebody who loves us and that we love dearly, it may be a very small thing, but we tend to just, treasure it. It was given to me by my father or my brother or my wife or whatever we may say. In that spirit, when we enjoy the good things of life that are gifts to us, we need to understand that they come from our Father, our Heavenly Father. And that ought to make our food taste sweeter to us when we sit down to eat. You sit down to your Sunday lunch today, and you look at how much it is, and the nice aroma coming off of the hot food, and the color and the texture of the food. And let's also remember, more importantly, let's remember that what we have in front of us is one of God's good gifts, and let's give Him thanks for our food. And let's remember, brethren, that we don't deserve anything from God. This is one of the elementary truths that we tend to forget, that we need to be brought back to. We tend to forget that those things that we have are received. And this is one of those truths that tends to slip so gradually that it's imperceptible. And if you find yourself, as we all do sometimes, moaning and complaining and murmuring about this or that, it's probably because we've forgotten some things that we need to go back to. If we're not as thankful for a meal as we ought to be, oh, well, it wasn't enough, or it wasn't hot enough, or didn't taste as good as it usually does, then we need to kind of put that aside. And let's be reminded, hey, this, God gave this. And let's be thankful. Let's be thankful people. I think the problem here is compounded by our environment here in the United States of America. We're greatly affected by the times in which we live. We're regularly bombarded with the notion that we deserve a certain standard of living, even if we don't work. And you watch some of these commercials on TV. I mean, hey, you've worked hard and you've done it, and so therefore you ought to have this. You deserve it. How wrong. How wrong. We don't deserve anything from God. We don't deserve food. We don't deserve the bare necessities of life. Listen to Jacob. Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies which you have shown to your servant. And so, brethren, let's remember how much we need God's care. We need Him. We need His care. And we need Him to maintain our lives, because how quickly these things can, how quickly they can be taken away. How quickly your appetite can be gone due to sickness. You know what it's like? Get real ill. You're sick, flu or something. No appetite. Don't want to eat. Thought of food can make you sick. Maybe the thing you last ate, you know, you can't eat it for a couple of months. In Proverbs we read, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Ever notice how quickly a bird flies? I was holding Christina the other day, last Sunday I believe it was. We were standing, I was holding her in front of the sliding glass door, and we were looking out at the bird feeder. And the birds would fly in to the bird feeder and sit there and eat. But, you know, they would fly away. And it was really funny to watch her, because she would look at the bird feeder, and then when the bird would fly away, she'd go just like that. And, you know, another bird would come, and she'd do, and her head was moving about as fast as these birds were. But how quickly, you know, the bird was there, and how quickly the bird was gone, and she couldn't quite figure it all out, and she was, if I was reading her mind, it's like, oh, no, don't go away. Come back. And so it is with those things that we have. How quickly They can be taken away. How quickly an economy, a robust economy, can go south. You know, several years ago, you would hear there was this trumpeting of, you need to buy Pacific Rim stocks. Because here's where it's happening. All here in Asia. I mean, it's happening. Invest, you know, you need to diversify your portfolio. And so be sure with all your investments, you've got stock in some of these Asian companies. Indonesia, that's going to be one of them. And you may remember what happened earlier this year in Asia. I mean, that went through a severe downturn in the economy. And it's like a turn on a dime. Here, it's like, you ought to invest, but now, stay away. The same thing can happen here in the United States. I mean, it can turn on a dime. Some of you remember